one of the most dramatic moments in Tanakh, probably, is a time where Yosef HaTzadik meets with his father after all those years of being away, after years of believing that they'll never see each other again. And the pasuk says, Yaakov was brought to Mitzrayim, and eventually the pasuk said, just 1 second. In Perik Memvov, pasuk Chof Tes. Vayesu Yosef Makavto v'yal likras Yisrael Aviv. He went to he got his chariot. He went towards Yaakov. Goishna v'yera elov. Yaakov saw him v'yipol al tzavorov. V'yera elov appeared in front of him. V'yipol al tzavorov, and he fell on his neck. V'yevk al tzavorov oid, and he cried on his neck some more. So it's mashma from here. It's very clear that Yaakov Avinu wasn't passive. Yosef fell on his neck and he cried, and it says nothing about Yaakov doing anything to Yosef until the next pasuk. Then Yaakov starts talking, but in this pasuk, in pasuk Chof Tes, there's a very passive situation over here where actually Yosef does something, Yaakov does nothing. So it's brought down in Rashi from the Shema of the Medrash. It says, "Aval Yaakov nafal atzavra Yosef anoshkoi." Yaakov did not fall on Yosef's neck and did not cry. Then at that moment, Yaakov is really reading Kriya Shema. So we talked about this in the past. I'd like to focus on this a little bit more. You know, there's something called timing. Yeah, timing makes a good joke go down well. Yeah, timing is a great for in business and commerce. And timing is great in relationships too. Yaakov Avinu is meeting Yosef, he has not met, who thought he was dead. Right? If it was a Zman of Kriya Shema, then, you know, Kriya Shema does not take that time, a period doesn't take 10 minutes to do Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema does not go over, does not expire after 10 minutes. I mean, in other words, if it's Zman to say Kriya Shema was before, start Kriya Shema then, why wait till the last 10 minutes to say Kriya Shema? Say beforehand. Why was it that Yaakov Avinu used this incredible opportunity to embrace and kiss and love his son and be back together and reunite with his son, and then, oops, he's saying Kriya Shema? Very unfortunate. So I want to focus on the parasha carefully, and we'll see here a very beautiful yisoid brought from the Sefer Yireim. Early on in the parasha begins by Yigash Elov Yehuda. Yehuda is stepping forward. Yehuda, the king, Yehuda, the leader, Yehuda, the powerful one, steps forward, and he is speaking to Yosef in a very, very strong, threatening tone. And he says to him, "Be Adoni," you know, "Aliyach abcha b'avdechol, ki chameichol kapari." What chameichol kapari means, as far as I'm concerned, either you're like a melech, or I will strike you like I strike Pari. In other words, I have no problem getting rid of you, getting rid of Pari. He is now about to address Yosef. Things are becoming militant. Things are becoming out of control. This dictator, this chap standing in front of us right now, who has taken away Shimon, is now about to take away Binyamin, he is not going to get away with this. That's it. It's over. And Yehuda is ready to make war with him. Yehuda is about to stand up to him. And things are really not looking very good for either party right now. And they're thinking how they're going to get around this person, what they're going to do with this new enemy that they found who's picking on them for some strange reason. And the whole focus is how to get this person out of their way, how to deal with this person in a way that is most effective to eradicate him from the scene. And all of a sudden, everything changes round. And Yosef appears to them, and he says to them, "Vayomer Yosef el Achav," listen, Perik Memhei Pasuk Gimel, "Ani Yosef, Oda Oid Avichoy, I am Yosef. Is my father still alive? V'leyochlu Echav Lamis Oisak Nivlu Miponov." The brothers could not answer him through their embarrassment. Incredible! Suddenly, in 1 second, everything has changed. Everything, the whole paradigm of seeing this evil dictator, is suddenly their brother who loves them. And the brother that they themselves are willing to give up their life for to save now. The parasha brings down beforehand. They went down to Mitzrayim in order to bring Yosef back. And if he wasn't willing to be released by those people who bought him. They're willing to be moisa nefesh, willing to give their life to fight this person. They are willing to now to do anything to get Yosef back. And this person who they thought was their enemy number one has become their brother. And not only that, he's out there doing everything in order to help them with their tshuva. And he's only caring for them. And he says clearly later on, I've got no anger against you, I've got no sin against you, no hatred. The parasha is unbelievable, and suddenly everything gets changed around. What an unbelievable moment. So the Bala Musa say that this is not just a historical happening. It is something that we have to take into our lives on a daily basis. We sometimes look at the world as gloom and doom. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing this to us and is doing that terrible thing to us, and we see terrible, terrible things happening, and sometimes they are very bad, and one does not see the answer, one does not know why it happened. And all of a sudden, it suddenly clicks, and we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this and that in order for something else wonderful to come out from that. It sometimes takes years, it sometimes takes minutes, it sometimes takes to the next lifetime. But ultimately, kol ma the Ovid Rachman and the Tava Ovid, everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for the best. Everything. And that takes a tremendous amount of awareness to see the light even in the darkness. But this is what happened to the brothers. They saw gloom and doom. They saw that's it. What's going to happen? And suddenly they see Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef, their brother, is a king and everything gets ironed out. Reb Shimon Schwab said a very nice thought. Reb Shimon Schwab says, we say two brachas in Shacharis that seem to be repetitive. We say the bracha of Pekeach Ivrim, the bracha Kodesh Baruch Hu opens up, gives light, allows an Iver, a blind person, to see. And then we say Hamavish Sheino Me'eino Yisnuma, who removes the sleep from our eyes. So both seem to be talking about the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu allows a person to be able to see. If so, what's the point of the repetition? Why do you have it twice? So Shimon Schwab says there are two separate brachas. One bracha, Pekach Ivrim, is referring to the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu makes a nes, that he allows a bit of jelly in our eyes to see on a daily basis. That's a nes. That is physically being able to see. But Hamavir Sheinim Eina Yisnumoi is a bracha that we make on being allowed to see reality. To use our eyes and be able to determine reality, even if things aren't so dark. Mavi Shenim Eino, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes allows us to have the realization not to sleepwalk through life, to be able to see life in the right perspective. That is a Mavi Shenim, to be able to look at life and understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing that, and that's why I put another Vihirotsoim, Shagle Mesoyer Secho, in other words, working through with Torah and Yerushimayim and Musa and Amunna and Bitochen, that gives us the realization of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and takes away our slumber, our sleep from what we're having right now. So Mavi Shenim is allowing us to see things in the right perspective. Sometimes the most complicated things, sometimes the most, those things that look to us as most disruptive, ultimately those things help us the most. It's very interesting. Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Pirkei Eliezer says by the Akedah, it says, "V'hine ayil acher nechaz besvach bekarnov." They found that this ayil, this ram, was caught with his rams entangled in the bushes, right? By the Akedah. So, which is seemingly something that Avraham Avinu had to untangle the ram from the horns, untangle the horns. Yeah, and be able to bring it back for a korban. And therefore it seems to be something which is not very easy for him, something that's it's uncomfortable, something that was a bit of a pain. So the Pirkei Rebbe brings down Fina Ayl Achaz Nerchas Bisvach Vakarnov Shumikarnaim Elu Nasish Neshoiforis. From these two horns of the ram, two shoiforis came out. Echad mehem hoya shofar shel matan Torah. One of the shofaros was used as a shofar of matan Torah. Umekeren hasheni yiskenu shofar shel Yohanan Novi sheyovel levasreinu abias mishichenu goel tzedek. And the other one would be used as a shofar of Mashiach. What we saw as a disturbance is in fact those horns are the ones that are going to help us in Osad Lavoi. Those horns, that disturbance, are the horns that give us our future, give us the Torah, and give us, Be'ez Hashem, the Geula. In other words, what we see with our eyes sometimes is very confusing. And we daven hamavir sheni, which is able to see it clearly. This Rabbeisai is a beautiful pshat over here. Let's understand clearly what happened over here. Yeah, Yaakov Avinu, as we mentioned beforehand, met Yosef. And it must have been an incredibly emotional setting. You know, to a very, very small extent. I don't know how small extent, but recently, a soldier, yeah, was released by the Hamas, who was for many, many years was held there. Not many years, I think 3 years. Gilad Shalit was released, and it was a very emotional setting for the whole country when he was released. And there's a footage of him meeting his father. His father didn't think he'd ever see him, meeting his father, and it's emotional. But you know, but it's in front of the media, it's in front of the cameras, so it had to be controlled. But you can imagine what it was like, the party that night. Unbelievable, incredibly emotional meeting. So we said beforehand, the meeting between Yaakov and Yosef must have been incredibly emotional. Why then would he punct use that time just then to start saying Kriya Shma? What's the idea behind that? So the Maral says a beautiful pshat. And the Maral says that in Kriya Shema, Yaakov Avinu says, V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol meidecha. You have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with everything you have. Says the Maral, the derech of the tzaddikim is to take your ultimate emotion and to use that emotion for the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's taken the moment that he has most love of a human being, reuniting with the son that he thought is dead. And he uses that emotion, his makriv that to Ribbono Shel Olam, and said, Ribbono Shel Olam, using the avo that I have for my son, I'm giving it and offering up as on Mizbeach to you, Ribbono Shel Olam. That moment of love, of incredible attachment to human being, he decided to channel in to attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, dafka there, the va'ahavta, that feeling of ahavta, that love, he channeled to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the pshat in the Maral. In the Sifra Yireim, it says a very, very beautiful pshat. Listen to this carefully. There's a very similar path between Yaakov and Yosef in this story. Let's start with Yaakov. Okay? Yaakov Avinu had a son that he felt was his prodigy. That he's going to be the one who is going to lead his 12 tribes. And to the extent that he spent with him enormous amount of energy to teach him the Torah, Hashem Ve'eva. And all of a sudden, Yosef goes. Yosef disappears. He gets killed. Yaakov Avinu had a nevuah that if one of his children died during his lifetime, he'll not go Olam Habo. So Yaakov Avinu not only had lost his son from his favorite wife, as far as he was concerned, he'll never get to Olam Habo. And there could not be Menachem him. The family could not console him. He was living through with this nightmare that an Olam Hazeh and a nightmare knowing he'll have no Olam Habo. And in one moment, he gets news. He comes back home, he gets news that Yosef HaTzadik is still alive. And not only is he still alive physically, he's alive spiritually. He is in Mitzrayim, he's kept his Kedusha, he's kept his Tahara, he's built up a beautiful Torah digger family. Yaakov Avinu, not only that, he's able to bring you, Be'ez Hashem, and bring the whole family to Mitzrayim in a way that's going to supply the family with everything they need, you have nothing else to worry about. Yaakov Avinu had in that moment his Olam Hazeh and Olam Habo was given back to him. Unbelievable feeling. Yosef HaTzadik was living with his father, living with his brothers, living at home, learning from Yaakov Avinu, and he was sent on a mission, and he got taken from that mission, and he got kidnapped by his brothers, and sold as a slave, and he goes down to Mitzrayim, and one thing leads him to the other, he gets put into a jail, things get dark, things are very, very dark. And all of a sudden, from one moment to the next, Vayitzum and Aboriah schlepped him out of the pit, and he came from, what it says, you know, from the Medrash says, from a Bira Mikta le'Igra Rama, from a very low pit to a very high roof, in a moment, suddenly everything changed, and he realized that the only reason why he's in Mitzrayim is for one purpose. It's for him to be the king. It's for him to supply his family with what they need, and in order to put the Kedusha into Mitzrayim, with his Nisyonos to allow Klal Yisrael to survive in Mitzrayim during the Golus. Not only that, the Bris Ben Absorim, it was clear that Yaakov Avinu and his family had to go down into Golus, into Mitzrayim. And they could have come down in chains. Yosef HaTzadik prepared the way through Ribbono Shel Olam's tremendous hashkacha that Yaakov Avinu was brought down in the chariot of the king. That's how he came into his goddess, in the chariot of the king. And he lived in Mitzrayim like Malachim. They lived in a perfect setting. Yaakov Avinu had his best days of his life in Mitzrayim. In the goddess of Mitzrayim, Yaakov Avinu had his best days in Mitzrayim. And Yosef HaTzadik had also gone through the level of absolute darkness in the pit to being in a bright daylight of Rabbeinu Shlomo's Hashkocha. This Rabbeisai is Peshat when they say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. One Peshat is Hashem Elokeinu, who is our God, we Hashem Echad, will be belong to all the Goyim. B'yomu hu yeh Hashem Echad Shema Yechad. But there's another Peshat. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Mefarshim say Hashem Yud Yud, yeah, Hashem Adnus is the Loshon of Rachamim. Okay? That's Rachamim. Elokus Elokim is Midas Hadin. So Shema Yisrael, listen, Klal Yisrael, Hashem is Midas HaRachamim, who sometimes appears to us, Elokeinu, as Midas HaDin. You should just know, is Hashem Echad, is the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Midas HaRachamim. But we sometimes see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Midas HaRachamim. How can it be? It's Midas HaDin. No, it's the same Midas HaRachamim. Yaakov Avinu, listen to this beautiful pshat, one of the most unbelievable. Yaakov Avinu suddenly saw Yosef. He suddenly saw all that tsar, all that pain that he'd gone through, all that terrible, terrible misery he had been through all these years, and suddenly realized, it's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's doing this for me, for my good. That all the tsar wasn't tsar b'chlal, it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping me to come to Mitzrayim, that my son should be the king, that my son should be able to put the Kedush into Mitzrayim, that we should survive Golos, that we should go out as a nation, that he can look after us. Unbelievable. And therefore, for the first time in his life, he is able to say, Shema Yisrael. Listen, Yisrael, so Yisrael, Hashem, Elokeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was Midas HaDin. Now I see Hashem Echad, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely Midas HaRachamim. Therefore, that moment he had that clarity he had never seen before. And that is why he cried in Yosef. Now he understood the new Pshat Shema Yisrael that he never said before him. That was a Kriya Shema. That was Yaakovina's moment where he took in order to ensure that he worked on that moment and he understood that Pshat he never seen beforehand. Now everything came together. Incredible. And that is a Koyach. The Koyach Torah gives us, the Koyach Emunah gives us, is not to see when everything is great and everything is, you know, everything is light, how Kodesh Baruch Hu cares for us. It's to see in the darkness that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. How many times, you know, has his voice yelled out, you know, on the stake when you've been burnt by the stake, or before a person shot in the head by a Nazi, Rachmana Litzlan. A person shouts out, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Everything looks dark. No, but it's the sake of Klal Yisrael, for your sake, you'll see later on. That was Yaakov Avinu used that moment to show his understanding that how, wow, look at this, everything came together. It looked so bad, Midas HaDin, and suddenly it's all Midas HaRachamim. And that's why they say, beautiful Peshat, the Chassidus say, and that is why we cover our eyes when they say Shema Yisrael. It's a minute to cover our eyes. Many people say it's Peshat because of Kavona. But many people say, no, you cover your eyes. Why? Because we don't really, we have a little hand in front of us. We don't see Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You just take it away, you see the clarity. So we cover our eyes and say, sometimes we don't see it. We don't see that Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Midas HaRachamim all the way through. And if we cover our eyes, you take your hand away and you see, you'll see. Just take your hand away, everything's bright again. That is why we put in front of our eyes. So why were the brothers embarrassed? The Pasuk says that when Yosef appeared in front of the brothers and he said, Ani Yosef, Nivalu Miponov, says Rashi, they were embarrassed. Mipnei Habusha, because of the Busha. What's the embarrassment over here? So Mereb Reb Chaim Kaufman says a beautiful, beautiful moshel. He says, just imagine, you come early to shul, okay? And nobody else has arrived to shul yet, just you and one other person in shul. Shachris, let's say, 7 o'clock. And you come to shul at 10 to 7. And it's just you and one other person in shul. And it's a Sunday morning, and you've not yet taken off your Shabbos watch. You've got a nice, beautiful, diamond-encrusted gold watch from your father-in-law, right? And you've got this watch, and you're wearing this watch, and you put it down on your talis bag, and you put in your tefillin, and after you're going to put the watch back on. And you put in your tefillin with the talis, and then you feel for your watch, and your watch has gone missing. Gone. Disappeared. Where could it possibly be? There's only one other person in the shul. You go to this other person and say, excuse me, my watch, you obviously, it's probably thought you may have a similar one, but do you mind giving it back to me? So I don't know, I really don't know what you're talking about. I took my watch off. There's nobody else in shul. Okay? It was over here. You know, I'm not suspecting that you stole it. Obviously, you may have forgotten. May have not realized. But it's my watch. And please, I'd very much like it back. It means a lot to me. So I really don't know what you're talking about. Listen, there's nobody else here. It cannot be. You know, look in your pocket. So you've got it. I'm just telling you, I do not have your watch. By that time, more people are coming to shul, and this person losing his patience. You're Gamuf! There's another one here. You stole my watch. First, I did not steal your watch. You should be embarrassed of yourself. You're standing there with your talisman spinning on, stealing people's watches. And the guy's yelling backwards and forwards, back. And Nebuch, this guy is so embarrassed, he leaves shul. And people discussing him. Maybe he is. It's just terrible. I never thought he'd be a Gamuf. Unbelievable. Anyway, this man starts davening. He's very, very upset. He's not davening properly. You know, obviously, his watch has been stolen. He has to go to the police house. What's he going to do? He puts his hand in his pocket by Varach Dov to take up money, put in stocker. And as he puts his hands in his pocket, he feels his watches in his pocket. He put his watch in his pocket instead of putting it in his arm. People have gone into shul, gone out to shul, this poor man. How can he ever make it up? How embarrassed is this person that he calls such a fuss when he absolutely was absolutely innocent in the other party? How embarrassing is that? Here they are. The brothers are accusing Yosef of terrible things. And Yosef is not being accusing me? I'm trying to save you. How embarrassing is that? Says Reb Chaim, how embarrassing is it where we accuse HaKadosh Baruch Hu of terrible things? Ribbono Shel Olam, where's the Rachamim? It's all din. And then you realize later on, you've got tainus against me, it's for your good. I'm doing it for you. Moti Berger, Rabbi Moti Berger, one of the Rabbonim in Eshet Torah, he's got an incredible, incredible lecture. Moti Berger is probably one of the most agile individuals in Kiruv. He has an incredible, incredible koyach adibur. A very, very special person. And unfortunately, in the middle of giving a shiur once, he had a stroke. And for quite a while, he could not speak at all. He mamish could not speak. He lost his koyach adibur completely. He could not speak. And he obviously, his whole life crumbled around him. He was articulate. He was elegant in his speech. Incredible man. And everything crumbled. And he's lying in his bed, alone, not able to speak. And then he realized something incredible. He said, listen, I've been giving shiurim all this time about Kodesh Baruch Hu being echad, being one, needing nobody. Obviously, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't need this for himself, it's for me. It's for me. If it's for me, then it must be that Kodesh Baruch Hu loves me so much that he's willing for me to have complaints against him in order to help me. And he realized, he started crying. He says, Kodesh Baruch Hu is willing for me to dislike him and to have tainus against him just for my good. Unbelievable how much Kodesh Baruch Hu loves me. And he called it a stroke from Hashem. A stroke from Hashem. And he recovered. And he said he'll never forget, though, that Koras HaToyvi had for the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing, as it were, to look bad, Chas V'Chalila, in order for our own sake. We have to, Be'ezus Hashem, always have this concept of Ma V'Sheino Me'ino Yisnum, would never be tested, Chas V'Chalila. But if we do, we should see, we should not sleepwalk, we should see HaKadosh Baruch Hu through this. And realize Hashem Elekeinu, what we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Elekeinu is really Hashem, is all the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one part of Krishna. It's brought from the Sfarim, the Yaakov Avinu daven all the way Shemona Esrei, and he daven Tachlin as well. So part of the Shemona Esrei is Vahafta Shem Alekecha. So I'd like to focus on that part as well. So Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, covering your eyes, is a fact, understanding. The Yaakov Avinu at that moment realized and declared that Kodesh Baruch Hu is Kulei Rachamim. What's Vahafta Shem Alekecha? Vahafta Shem Alekecha is our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. If Shema Yisrael is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us, Vahafta is how we're supposed to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How is Yaakov Avinu supposed to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How did we survive in Mitzrayim? So there's a few very, very nice different Torah one. I'd like to say over here. The Pasuk says over here, Anoichi Eired Imcha Mitzrayim Vanoichi Eilech Gam Olo. In Perik Memvav Pasuk Dalet. Kodesh Baruch says, I'm going to go down with you. Toshat Gam Olo. So Nesivus brings down, Nesivus and Mishpah brings down in the Akdama to one of his forum. He says, What's Gam Olo? Kodesh Baruch says, I'm going to go down into Golos with you. And when I take you out, I'm going to come out as well from the Golos. Anoichi Eired, I myself will go down into the Golos. Ukasha Lecho, and when I bring you up, Gam Ola, I will come out as well. How does that relationship happen? How does the Kodesh Baruch Hu come into Golos with us? The mount that we make relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that is a match how Kodesh Baruch Hu suffers, as it were, on our behalf. Listen to this Gvaldig Apostle. The Apostle says later on, in Perik Memvov, Pasuk Chofches, the Yehuda shalach lefono. And Yehuda they sent in front of him, El Yosef, to Yosef, Lo Horis Lafon of Goishno, Vayavoya Arts of Goishen, and he came to Goishen. Why was Yehuda sent in front of this entourage of Yaakov Vinu to Goishen? So Rashi brings down, Lafonov, Koidim Shagia Lashom, and before Yaakov came to Mitzrayim, Umed Rishagoda, Lo Horis Lafonov, the Sakin Loi based Talmud, Shemisham Tetzah Hira. The Hoyra is from the council of Hoyra, to teach. In other words, Yehuda was sent in front of Yaakov Avinu in order to set up a yeshiva. That's one pshat in the Medrash. Very nice, there's plenty to talk about with that. Okay? The other pshat in the Medrash is, Lahaskin Loi Beis Dira, to find a house for Yaakov. Yet sent Yehuda in front in order to organize a dwelling for Yaakov. Asks the Be'er Yosef, what Yaakovino is worried about, what kind of house he has. You know what? Let's say he doesn't find a house. I'm sure Yosef can you know, fit him in with a few in his extra spare bedrooms in his palace. What's his problem? Why is he sent Yehuda in front to sort out a dwelling for him? Hang around Yosef's house for a few days. You know, you'll have your own base of medrash. You'll have your own kosher food. Nothing to worry about. I'm sure Yosef has plenty of room to put you up for a few days. Come there. Look around yourself. Why send Yehuda ahead? Says a bear Yosef, perhaps that in Yosef's home, Yosef had ministers coming in. He had, unfortunately, day-to-day relationships with Egyptian culture. And to be able to deal with that world and not be influenced with that takes incredible training. And Yosef was able to do that, and Yosef was able to educate Ephraim and Manasseh to be able to live in that environment. But who says Yaakov? Says Yaakov. Who says all my other children, grandchildren who come, he'll be on that level? And to be in Yosef's home, with all that's going on, and people coming in and out, I cannot ensure that my children will be absolutely safe in that environment. And therefore, I have to find my own home away from all this. The Medrash Agadol brings down Parshas Vayeshev. Vayovay habayis lasis malachtoi. In that house, Nisim happened to Sarah. In that house, a Nes happened to Yosef. When Yosef came into Mitzrayim, when Yosef came into Paro's palace, the tears of sorrow, brought down the tears of sorrow, where Sarah Davon, Kodesh Baruch Hu, saved me from Paro, from the tumah of Paro, that helped Yosef in that environment too. The idea is over here, is that Yaakov Vina was so sensitive that even living with Yosef in a home of Yosef HaTzadik, with everything of that he's educated his household, you never know how the influence will infect the children. And you have to make a home that is totally, totally isolated from any kind of relationship with the goyim. That's Peshat says Rav Moshe, fascinating what Rav Moshe says. Yaakov Vina is called in front of Pari. And Yaakov Avinu seemingly has a good old moan. Yeah? It says later on, Vayoyme Paro el Yaakov, kama yimei shnei chayach, how old are you? Vayoyme Yaakov el Paro, yimei shnei megurai, the years of my dwelling, shloishim uma'ash shono, 130 years, ma'at v'roim hoyu, few and bad, yimei shnei chayai, all my years, v'lo yisigu yis yimei shnei chayai, v'lo yisai, I haven't reached, Yaakovin had a good old moan. Yeah, Mamish complained. Ask Ramesha, what mocking is there to complain to a goy? It's tzaddik. Yaakovinu is coming in front of Bari. Don't complain. You're supposed to say, oh, everything's been a Shammai, and Baruch Hashem, everything's fine. What's he doing complaining to Bari? Says Ramesha, Chas v'shalom. The Yaakovinu is stum complaining and moaning and groaning. Chas v'chalina, says Ramesha. Ramesha says that Yaakovinu said to Bari, I've got to tell you something. I've got to explain to you a little bit of who I am and why I look the way I am. Avram and Yitzchak were both into Kiruv. In a big way. Avram Avinu is all known, Yitzchak as well. I'm just telling you, says Yaakov, I had never any contact with Kiruv. Lavan, I had nothing to do with. Esav, I didn't try to do Kiruv. I'm just telling you, I'm somebody who has my own 12 Shavatim, and Klal Yisrael is now set up on his feet. And therefore, for me to be inclined to go out and make any kind of concessions for the sake of diplomacy to any kind of king or any kind of culture is out of my league. That's not what I do. And therefore I have suffered all my life because that is the way I believe is a correct derech. I could have made up to Esav, I could have made up to Lavan. No, I'm not making up to anybody. I am a loner. I am living my life with Rabbeinu Shem and nobody else. I am making an insular Klal Yisrael. And therefore, I'm just telling you, Pari, I look terrible. I've had a very difficult life because I chose that life because I do not want in any way to make any compromise and any kind of peace pact with you kind of people. And therefore, you, Pari, says, dwell in my land. I will dwell here. But don't expect any relationship to come from me because I'm going to live my own life. I'm willing to care of Tuyin, of course. But as far as I'm concerned, I have nothing to do with Pari. This is my terms. That is why he's saying, I had a difficult life because I chose that life to have no relationship with that other people that have been fighting with me. On that note, so the Yaakov Kamenetsky, he finishes off a beautiful pshat on this week's parasha. The parasha talks about, V'yoyshev Yosef es-ochiv es-ochiv, Yosef dwelt, V'itanehem achuzah ba'oretz mitzrayim, G'ed malpitim land mitzrayim, Meitav ba'oretz, Beres Ramses, like Pari told them. V'yichalke Yosef es-oviv, es-ochiv, es-kol beis oviv, lechol lefiatof, gave him all food, etc., etc. Then the parasha goes into Balaki Yosef Kol HaKesen and Sabaris Mitzrayim. He collected all the money and starts talking about how Yosef developed bringing all the money from Mitzrayim. And the money ran out, and Yosef said, okay, give me your land. And then he gave them the land, and he gave them all the Mikneh. And then he finished off that year, and there wasn't enough then. And he talks about exactly what he did then. He moved them from place to place. And then he says later on, Vayikin Yosef Kol Adas Mitzrayim, he collected all the land, because each person has sold it to him, and then he moved each person from place to place. It should not be in the same land. Rak admas hakoinim loikono. He never took the land away from the koinim. Kichoit the koinim eis pari. It's a law that the koinim, the priests, should keep their land, etc. And it carries on, and it carries on, blah blah blah. Then it carries on in the end. Vayeshev Yisrael, veEretz Mitzrayim Eretz Goshen, and they lived in Mitzrayim Eretz Goshen. Vayeochzubav veYifrav veYivam Oed. Lived there. Ask Yaakov Kamenetsky, what's going on? The parasha interrupts with Yosef settling his father and his parents, his father and his brothers and everything else, and then it talks about the end, how they dwelt there, and in the middle they have all the ins and outs of all the laws and stipulations that Yosef did in order to collect all the land in Mitzrayim. What connection is there with settling Yaakov in his home? There's no connection. What's the connection? And more than that, what's the importance to us that he made the stipulation that the priest should not have the land? What's the idea? The pshat is like this. Yosef said, until Yaakov came to Mitzrayim, there was a clear, they lived by themselves. And you know what? And right now, they're able to do so as well. But when Pari said to Yaakovinu, dwell with us, Yosef got a shock. Yosef realized that over here, we're dealing here with a whole different culture. Let them dwell here. Yaakovinu came to Mitzrayim. The pasuk says, read it in the Logu Be'eretz Bonu came mirror. We came Logu Be'eretz Bonu. We came to be gerim in this land. We came to gerim in this land. It's brought down in the Agadah of Pesach. Lomdu mikan sheyered Yaakov in ishtakev Mitzrayim elogu shom. Shem elogu barispon. It came to be as geirim. Paroi said to Yaakov, no, don't come as geirim. Come to dwell here. Become part of our culture. Yosef saw that if we become part of their culture, we're lost. And Yosef did something incredibly sensitive and brave and unpopular. He took all the land away from the Mitzrayim for the sake of feeding them bread. He took each person and moved them out of their land, complete other part of Mitzrayim, moved everybody around, and made every person a ger. Every person. By doing so, nobody feels confident. Everybody is a stranger. Everybody is out on the limb. Nobody feels as if they are Mitzrayim now, and therefore we have any influence over the Bnei Yaakov. And therefore, Yosef did this incredibly unpopular act in order to move everybody around, in order to make nobody feel that they have any influence over anybody else. Normally, a person who's living in land has influence on those people who are visiting. We're all visitors. And therefore, he did this in order that Yaakov Avinu and his children should be safe in Mitzrayim from influence. More than that, he made a chok, he made a decree that the Kohanim's land should not be touched. Why? Because the priests are different. That is an order that when the priests are different, when Yaakov, his children, are called to be Avodim in Mitzrayim, Levi was not touched. Just like the Chok in Mitzrayim was. That's what Chok in Mitzrayim was. That the priests have their own united factor. That is something that they have their own autonomy. So too with Klal Yisrael, they have their own autonomy. And they weren't touched. And that's why they were able to learn Torah all the 210 years. And that's why all the way through the goddess, they were able to see things that the rest of Klal Yisrael couldn't see. They had the Ma'av Shena Me'enoi. They were able to see where by the time of the Eagle, what was going on. When the Klal Yisrael wanted to go back to Eretz Canaan. No, they fought them. They had the clarity all the way through to be the ones who led. And this was a relationship in this week's parasha. The relationship begins with the understanding of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That whenever we see a Kadosh Baruch Hu as Hashem, and then he becomes Elokeinu, he becomes Midas Hadin, ultimately it's the same Kadosh Baruch Hu, the same Hashem. It is the same Midas Harachamim. And that's why Yaakov Avinu used that moment of clarity, not only to dedicate his love to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, like the Maharal says, but this moment of clarity of realizing everything until now has been for his good, he said Kriya Shema. And that's Peshat, the embarrassment that the tribes had, the Shvatim had, when they realized that they were accusing somebody incorrectly, how embarrassing it is, like the story of a man embarrassingly accusing this man that stole his watch when he did nothing wrong. How many times do we accuse a Kodesh Baruch Hu of doing avlois when really it's for our own purpose, when it's for our own benefit? There's a famous story, tell you very quickly, there's a famous story in, there was a boat that was turned away from a certain shore, and they were sent to go to Australia during the Second World War. A whole boat full of Jews. Yeah, a whole boat full of Jews went to Australia. And during one of the attacks, there was a lot going on there. There was terrible turbulence. Terrible turbulence on the boat. And people were forced by the captain to throw all the articles into the sea. Right? So they all threw the suitcases into the sea. And can you imagine, what did they have left? Yeah, the little few sforim and the candlesticks. Everything had to be thrown into the sea. And they tossed everything into the sea. And people were terribly, terribly sad, as they can well understand. Anyway, it was not known until quite a bit later that the British Army thought that boat was a German boat. And they're about to bomb it. They're about to attack it. What happened was, they saw though, that there was papers fluttering around the boat that had Jewish writing on it. And so it's not possible that this is a Nazi boat. It must be Jews that are escaping, and it didn't bomb the boat. And that saved their life. And this, you only find out later. But it's Hamav Yishena. We daven Hamav Yishena, allow Kosh Baruch to see, even through the Tzoros, Chas V'Chalila, to even then see the light. And that was the embarrassment that they had, how we accuse a Kodesh Baruch Hu falsely. And that's Peshat as well. The relationship works in both ways. The love and dedication we have for Kodesh Baruch Hu, of making Kodesh Baruch Hu yochud u'miyuchod, to make that Kodesh Baruch Hu echod in our lives, to not become influenced by the goyim, not even to live in Yosef's home, to live in our own insular environment as best we can. to obviously to do kiruv to other Jews, but not necessarily to be that diplomatic in order to allow the influences to come into our homes. To say to Paray quite clearly, Yaakov says, you know, I've had a very difficult life because I chose this life, because I'm not interested in diplomacy. And that's Peshat to what Yaakov Kamenetsky says, is Peshat that Yosef worked so hard in order to ensure that Klal Yisrael should be able to live in Mitzrayim 210 years with a nation that is working as slaves, but part of it is always going to be the Bnei Torah who are able to focus their lives on Hamar Vishena, on learning Torah, on being able to show Klal Yisrael where they go wrong, and also not to be influenced by the society around us.